Join me in John chapter 19. Since it is Mother's Day, it seems fitting as we prepare to come to the table to ponder the cross from the perspective of a mother, specifically Mary, the mother of Jesus. That is not a forced connection. As the Holy Spirit weaves together the story of Jesus, Mary is part of that from the beginning and to the end. Matthew and Luke specifically both tell a version of the birth story, and obviously both of those include Mary, although Luke is more generous with his attention to Mary. He records, for example, the visit of the angel to Mary and that amazing announcement he makes about what is about to happen to her. And then later, Luke also records the words of Mary to Elizabeth, whereby the Spirit, she begins to hint at what God will soon do through this child. I want to invite you to pause there for a moment and remember that Mary is a young woman. And the angel has come. And the Spirit has spoken through her. How bizarre that must have been for a likely teenage girl. Can you even imagine? And ponder the upheaval that will come to her life because of this announcement. The scandal of the pregnancy before her and Joseph are married, that she bore for the rest of her life. And then ponder this poor woman delivering a child while on a journey in a stable. Think about that element of the story and try to imagine a worse collection of circumstances for a young girl to give birth to a child. But then the people start showing up in the temple when they bring Jesus there a few days later. These random people start coming and saying things. And then months go by and foreigners begin to show up, guided by a star, bearing gifts. Now that must have been interesting. And then the flight to Egypt to escape those who wanted to kill her child, the fears the young mother must have felt for her young child. And the fears when they return that others might seek his life. Scary times. And then after enduring all of that, the announcements before the birth, the bizarre circumstances of the birth, having to flee for safety, when things just seem to be settling down, they lose him. On a visit to another city, and it's some time, they're already on the way home before they realize we don't have Jesus with us. We've all lost kids before, right? I sort of lost one of my kids one time. I mean, we were hiking and he went on and we didn't know where he was. And for y'all, you know the few moments, right? We're just terrified. Okay, where are they? And they didn't just lose one of their children. They lost Jesus. And then the time comes when he begins to preach and teach and make these stunning claims, and the upheaval only gets worse. His enemies were vicious in their attacks against him, accusing him of being demon-possessed and working in league with the devil. I wonder how much she knew of the controversy surrounding her son. What did people say to her about him? But it was worse than that, because the controversy would divide her own family. There were seasons when even his own brothers didn't believe in him. They thought he was crazy and went to try to drag him back home on at least one occasion. And finally, we come to the ugliest scene at the end. Crucifixion is a brutal form of execution, horrific to endure. But can you imagine watching your child be crucified? Mary did. What an extraordinary burden she carried on that day. But even as we take in that awful scene, a mother watching her son die this terrible death, in the middle of all of that, there is this beautiful moment in John chapter 19. Look down at verse 25. The text says, standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus then saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own household. Literally, as he's dying on the cross, he's making provision for his mother's care. But even that part of the story is curious. Jesus has brothers. Why would they not be entrusted with Mary's care? And even if we decide that John is connected through the family, still, she has other sons. Maybe the significance lies in the fact that Jesus commits her care to the more important family, the new family, her spiritual family, that this sacrifice will provide for. I don't know that I have thought much about Mary being there. Certainly, she brings a perspective to these events as the mother of Jesus that is unlike any other. And not just in the special grief that she bore on that day. There were also advantages that Mary enjoyed on this occasion that nobody else had. Remember, the angel appeared to her and announced the coming of this child. And Mary knows, if nobody else does, the certainty of his divine birth. He came into the world by an act of God. And she'd heard those words from Simeon and Anna in the temple after his birth. "My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel." I don't know how much Mary has put this all together at this point in the story. I don't think anybody has all the puzzle pieces completely at this point. But she had pieces other people didn't have. Of course, it is all of us who have the best vantage point on those events. We are not left confused and baffled by the Savior dying at the hands of the enemy. We know what's going on. We know that that's all part of the plan. And when we look back, we know that Jesus is being offered as the sacrifice of sin. And we don't see the cross as this bizarre and unexpected development, but we see the cross as rescue and salvation and hope. We know the story. And that's what I invite you to ponder this morning as we share the meal together.